Welcome to Improv 409, the podcast that shines a spotlight on the improv community right here in Toledo, Ohio. Each episode, I'll sit down with local performers to talk about what makes improv exciting, terrifying, hilarious, and life-changing. You'll get behind-the-scenes stories, personal journeys, and maybe a few scenes and laughs along the way. If you've ever wondered what really happens on and off the stage, or if you've thought, improv sounds fun, but I could never, then you're in the right place. You'll get the Improv 411 here on Improv 419. I'm your host, Lindsay, and welcome. Today, I'm joined by Lad, my trio teammates, David and Atticus. We talk about what we love about improv, what we're trying to get better at, and how we show up for each other on stage.
Hi, Atticus, David.
Hello.
The lads are here.
Hello.
We made it.
Yeah, welcome. Very glad to have you guys here. Are you ready and willing to talk improv?
Always.
I mean, yeah, we did the drive. It sounds good.
Okay, good. Yeah, you guys, thank you for coming from Ann Arbor.
Thank you.
Probably mention that and sacrifice my firstborn. I don't know. Just thank you.
Of course.
Let's start from the beginning. How did you get involved with improv?
David, do you want to go first? I can go first.
Go first.
Okay. I had a friend in college who was on our college improv team who taught a class in an organization I was in, a student organization, about improv and how to use improv techniques and what we were doing. We were tour guides, so he was basically like, while you're giving a tour, be light on your feet. And that was really fun. I had seen some improv in college and then kind of graduated college, didn't do improv for a while, came to Michigan for grad school, and during grad school heard an ad on the radio and was like, that was something that had been really fun the first time I had done it. So got involved again in Ann Arbor and have been doing it up there for about a year and a half now, and it's been super fun. So I guess through a friend is the short answer.
Well, thank you to the friend.
Yeah.
David.
On and off for a handful of years. It kind of started back when, like, I was in middle school, high school. I had a lot of too much energy, and I needed an outlet. And I was definitely not coordinated enough for sport. So basically, I started doing improv, and then I picked it back up a couple years after my wife and I moved down to the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti area. And yeah, it's just been a lovely way to be expressive.
Were you guys like the funny kids in school?
No.
I would also say no.
Were you funny at home?
I mean, I think I was funny, but I'm also an inherent rule follower. So I wasn't funny in a disruptive way, but I think I could still be funny. But I was not like class clown funny.
That's funny. Funny to me now.
Yeah.
I was very much so the kid who would be anywhere with headphones on. And just kind of like stay in my own little mental world that I built. But yeah, I don't think I really found like my humor and beat until maybe late high school or early my first attempt at college, I guess.
That's interesting. Do you find that there's like, I don't know, an inner child? Like now you're performing on stage in front of an audience. Like, is that exciting for you? Do you get nervous before you step out?
I think it is in a way. Yeah, but I think the inner child aspect of it is so cool because essentially all we do is play. And the more that you allow the kind of ingrained adult aspects of your life kind of go away and then allow you to be like, yeah, I'm going to be a dinosaur for 30 minutes. Let's just make it happen. Like, then you allow yourself to commit, and that's really special.
Yeah, I think that it does tap into that like childlike imagination space. Like I feel like as a child, I was very in my head, like imagining things all the time. So to do that as an adult in front of people and occasionally be funny is a very fun way to continue to kind of cultivate that fun space. I forget what the first part of the question was though.
I don't know. Okay. Loved every second of it though. I think part of the joys of improv too is the collaboration of like, people will be there with you being as silly as you take it. So it's very nice having you two with me. We started a trio together with the three of us. And yeah, it's been such a joy with our practices and getting like just really goofy.
We're actually sitting in order.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, L-A-D.
Our group name is LAD. So Lindsay, Atticus, David.
Hello.
Yep, this is how we this is how we enter a room.
We love an acronym. Yeah. Yeah, I think to what you said, Lindsay, though, it is such a fun thing. Because I feel like there's not a lot of activities you do as an adult that are playful and imaginative. Maybe like board games or doing a role-playing like tabletop game like Dungeons and Dragons. But outside of that, as an adult, we don't often imagine things with other people. And it's really fun as an expressive way to just play with other people. Then that like taps into that childlike way that you used to play. And it's very fun. So
it's been just the best time mm-hmm. ever. Do you guys remember your first performance?
Of improv or mm-hmm. in general?
Yeah, let's start with improv.
Okay. Mine would have been a class show at Hearsay, probably for a 101 class. I think it went fine. I remember for the first probably 8 weeks I did improv in that first class, I would get home and my wife would describe what I had as the improv zoomies, because I couldn't fall asleep until like 2 a.m. And we usually go to bed at like 10 or 11. So I would just be like, oh, in that scene, I was thinking about this. And in this scene, I was thinking about this, and just would spiral endlessly. And eventually that went away, which was very nice. But I think after that first show, I was just like so in my head about like, well, in this scene, maybe I should have done this. In this scene, maybe I should have done this. And just like 3 a.m. maybe finally fell asleep, but just like constantly spiraling the entire night.
Rewatching the VHS.
Yeah.
You're too young for VHS.
Yeah.
But rewinding the DVD.
Yeah.
Starting it over. What about you, David?
I think for me, the biggest thing, especially like restarting it a couple of years ago with classes and stuff, I remember kind of wanting to make sure that I was good enough and supportive enough for the other people around me. Because it's one thing to go out there and like razzle dazzle and try to make people laugh. But as far as improv concerned, I think one of the big strengths is not only putting yourself out there, but make sure your partner is secure and safe to go out there. So I think maybe sometimes to a detriment, I try to make myself come out there enough so that people feel safe and secure to be the Looney Tune they are. And I usually used to go back in my brain, make sure I did everything I could.
Well, that's very sweet. Like, that's a nice motivation.
Yeah.
When stepping out. Speaking to that, like, is there a note that you've received or advice that you've received from a teacher or coach that sticks with you?
I think going with that same conversation is to not do that so much.
What inspired me to ask, because I knew that.
Yeah, that's been my big no, is just go out there and make fun trouble and, you know, burn the scene down a little bit from time to time is kind of my internal goal that I forever will fight with. But, you know, it's fun when you can go out there and just be the creep and you have trust enough in your people to, you know, keep the thing going.
Yeah, I think along with what David said, just being a supportive player in improv is so helpful. We've all played with people that don't do that. And when you go out with someone who's not being supportive, not really acting as a team, more just there to do what they think is funny or what they think the scene should be, it's much harder to get to a funny place and to really beat yourself as a player. I think, not to exactly copy what David said, but I think I essentially get the same note from people, which is you're too supportive and you need to go crazier occasionally. I think in improv, I often lean towards supporting whatever the other person says or whatever the scene that they think is going to be funny, because that, I don't know, it feels a little bit safer for me. But also, I think I can play a pretty good supportive character. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, it is fun to just, like David said, burn down the whole building and see what happens. But I think if you're in a team where you all do have that base level of understanding and support with each other, then you can do that easier. Like within our trio, any one of us can go insane and the other two will know exactly what to do. And we won't be trying to push our own agenda on top of one another person being insane.
Yeah, that is really nice. Yeah. What does a supportive player for you look like?
I think a supportive player to me is someone who is out there with me and isn't trying to push their own agenda and is listening to and responding to what I'm giving as gifts and scenes. A lot of times you'll work with younger improvisers that will come into a scene with almost an entire script written in their head. I think the biggest manifestation of this is when someone enters a scene and does a lore dump and gives like 5 sentences of background of what's going on. And whenever that happens, I am immediately unhappy in a scene. Mm. I just want someone who's going to go out there with me. If they have a strong idea, that's fine, but is willing to build it with me and kind of supportively build a scene together, find what's funny in the scene. I don't necessarily need someone to always be like a voice of reason for me or like a straight man for me. I'm comfortable doing that in a scene, but as long as someone is willing to work with me and move together towards something, I think that's fun. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that's good about, or another thing that marks someone as a supportive player is someone who, if you're working with them for the first time or you've only worked with them a couple times, they bring something up that maybe you don't want to do and they don't push you towards that. I've definitely been in a couple scenes where people will be like, the goal of this scene is that we're going to sing. Mm-hmm. And I hate to sing. I never want to do it. And I think I project that I'm immediately uncomfortable in that. And then sometimes people are like, we're going to still try to do this. And I don't think that's fun.
Yeah.
Because that's trying to get me to do something I don't want to do, which I think goes against the spirit of improv. So I think a supportive player is just someone who you've worked with for a while, knows what you want to do, what you find funny in a scene, and will just build it with you together.
Yeah, I think even with the lore, those kind of like overlap because it's, you're going to get on page with what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like immediately forcing you into a position that you had no say in. You just stepped out.
Yeah.
And now you're put in whatever placement they tell you to be in.
Yeah.
What about you, David? You have an ideal supportive scene partner?
I mean, pretty much just what Atticus said, somebody who's willing to listen, hear your idea, and then, you know, whether or not the idea is good, yes and move along. Or once they realize maybe you don't have as strong of ideas as you said, they're willing to bring something in, and then it's your turn to listen and bring it up. It's a kind of like a volleyball or a tennis, like somebody puts the ball over the net to you and you got to bring it back and you just volley these weird moments back and forth.
Mm-hmm. See, you can do sports.
Oh,
you can make sports analogies.
Look at me go.
Is there a moment when you're in a scene and like you and your partner are connecting where you feel like really locked in?
Yeah, I think I've definitely been in scenes where you feel like you start to get into a flow state with it. We have a mutual coach that we've worked with on a team that just ended. But one of his pieces of advice is just to always listen to what the other person's saying and just respond to the last thing that was said. A lot of times in improv, you might come up with a joke and then maybe wait a couple lines to deliver it. And sometimes that then means that you're not listening to your scene partner and you start to lose track of what's going on. Occasionally it can work, but it tends not to be the best way to approach it in my experience. There definitely are scenes that I've done where you get in that really locked in flow state and you're just responding to what the other person said. And sometimes in those moments, like you're not even aware that the audience is there. You're just like with the person on stage. And I always find those to be really fun. They don't happen all the time, but when they do happen, they feel really good. And I think the shows that those happen in are the ones that I remember and the ones that are always really fun.
I agree. Like that is the best feeling, is when the audience kind of dissolves in the mm-hmm. background and like you are the character standing mm-hmm. there. Like it's kind of a, I don't know, surreal almost.
Yeah, it's always a fun experience. And then you get edited and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah, it's like a blackout state.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just allowing yourself to play. And then, you know, you have that right moment with that right person. And, you know, you do that mind meld where, you know they're going to say like green or something silly like that. So you're ready for that. So then you're ready for that. And then you allow your analytical brain to kind of shut down. And now you're just this weird person with another weird person living this weird life. And then just like you said, you get wiped, and then you realize that like there's 30 or 40 people just staring at you being an idiot for a bit. It's amazing. It's amazing.
We've seen a lot of improv over the last 7 months, year or so.
Yeah.
We were all on a team called Destination Unknown. Mm-hmm. So we played every Saturday and we watched a lot of improv.
A lot of improv,
yeah. Are there any skills or like from other players that you're like, oh, that's something that I want to try to work on or put in my back pocket for my next performance?
Oh, sorry.
No, please.
I think the thing that I took from working, you know, in our troupe and everything like that, is the ability or is the idea of patient play. I think inherently as somebody who's done, you know, a bunch of theater and stuff like that, a lull is so scary because it's just a moment of void of sound. And then my brain is like, you know, there could have been 30 jokes here, like, you know, but it's one of those things that when you're, you know, having a moment between two characters that you're trying to express like a real grounded relationship, like it's important to have that moment to like that vacuum of sound, and it pulls the audience in at the right moment. And then you can, you know, have your cool burn away or throwaway line or something like that. And just witnessing that more and more is really inspiring.
Yeah, I think along with what David said there, I think it's a really interesting skill to know how to rest a joke or a game in improv when you're doing the same thing and making the audience laugh and then you pause it for a second. I think we saw a scene recently where it's always annoying to describe improv scenes because they're never funny when you describe them, but it was two people who were fighting about a business idea and they were at lunch and they had both started their own business and had identical logos, and this isn't funny, but they were just fighting about it, and they kept fighting about it. And then there was this point in the scene where they just stopped talking about it for like a minute. Mm-hmm. And they were just talking about the lunch and like, how are you doing?
Uncrustables.
Yeah. Yeah. They were talking about Uncrustables. And the longer that it waited, as an audience member, you were just waiting for them to start fighting again. Mm-hmm. So knowing when to rest the game and the joke is like such a fun skill, because when you bring it back, then it's just thunderous laughter every time. It's you finally hit that last beat and then you either end the scene or you go from there. But I think that's a really fun skill. A skill that I'm working on is being more present in the environment. We talk a lot about space work in improv, and it's not something I'm particularly good at. I tend to walk into a scene and pretty much stand where I entered and do the scene from there. But it's really fun to watch people that can really interact with the environment and paint a picture of their surroundings. If they're in a room, they might go get you a cup of coffee. Just things that we would do in normal life that I think as a newer improviser, sometimes so much of my focus is on I need to maintain the dialogue in the scene and be listening to what's happening. That it's hard to remember that as a person, I would go do stuff while talking to someone. Mm-hmm. So just building up that skill of object work and working with the environment is something that I want to work on.
Me as well.
Yeah.
Me as well. It is so easy just to step out and be like, and now I'm planted here and my character lives in this the space that I'm standing.
Yeah. Well, I have the problem where like if I start doing something, like I'll just not listen to the scene and I'll be like, like I'm so focused on making this fake cup of coffee that I don't know what just happened.
I mean,
so
almost in real life, I do that too. Yeah. I'm like, oh, dang, I was focused on making tea or whatever.
Yeah. So I think building that skill is a fun one to work on too. Mm.
I'm curious what improv has like brought to your real life. Mm-hmm. Speaking of me ignoring people when I'm doing things.
I mean, outside of, you know, real life, tangible friendships and all those other really fun, mushy things, I think really just a better way of communicating with people. I think one of the things in improv you get to do is you get to learn to like kind of read somebody a little bit quicker, maybe. You know, you get to see, you know, you pay attention to the body language if somebody's coming in hot or if somebody's coming in nervous or whatever, whatever. And in somebody, you know, in your real world, when you have to interact with people who might not be having a great day, it almost allows you to realize that a heck of a lot quicker so that you can, you know, if you're in a customer service position, to maybe make sure, you know, you put on a little more razzle-dazzle when you talk to them and stuff like that.
Hmm. You can go into the mushy stuff. That's kind of why I put you guys on mic, is just so you can talk about
how
great I am.
Lindsay's great. Like, 10 out of 10, my road dog, ride or die. You know, I'll follow Lindsay anywhere. She's wonderful.
Well, thank you for following me to Toledo.
Got to make the drive occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with David that it's been, I think, outside of the, like, communication stuff, which I'll get into, I think the community of improv has been really nice to be a part of. It's a very wide community. I often tell people that it's the most, like, generationally diverse community that I've been a part of. I think we tend to make friends that are, like, around our same age range, and that's it. And it's really nice to do improv because you have people that are as young as high school. You have people that are, like, half grandchildren. There's just a wide range, and it's really fun to be in a diverse community like that. I feel like they're not super common. And the friendships in it are so nice. And, yeah, it's just a wonderful community to be part of. Would always plug that about improv. I think, like, on the communication stuff, touching on a little bit of what David was saying, I think it's a really interesting place to practice, like, safe conflict with other people. I'm someone who's incredibly conflict averse, and it can be nice to do a scene with someone where you are mad at them, or you yell at them, or you kind of let those feelings out that maybe in normal life are harder to have kind of that deep conversation, or some of those emotions, like, we just don't tend to express that often. So I think that that can be really nice, is, like, if you have anxiety about, you know, communicating something with someone, you can practice that in an improv scene. Likely no one in your class or troupe will know that you're doing that, but it's a good way to work through some of those skills, which is always nice. My therapist was so happy when I said I did improv. She's like, oh, yay, you can go practice this all the time. And I was like, cool.
And mine too. Mine was like, oh, this will be the best thing for you. Like, you guys all let me scream in your face. And I'm like, oh, how nice. I've never been mad outwardly at someone before.
Yeah.
And now I get to do this in a very safe environment.
Yeah. The first time that we all did, we were all in a rehearsal together, and our coach was trying to make us more emotive. And he literally made us do scenes where we were just yelling at each other. And I think all three of us profusely apologized to the person we were yelling at afterwards. But it was fine. It was a safe environment to do it. No one took it personally. You were just yelling at their character, essentially.
I said no at first. I was like, I'm not going to do this. And then after everybody went, I was like, can I yell at somebody? And, like, I actually went. So it's just nice to even have the welcome to be like, yeah, get on in here, start screaming.
Yeah.
It comes back to the whole, like, the idea of, because, you know, so much of us were told not to do, like, yelling at people is impolite, so don't yell at people. But, you know, we've been working together for so long that, you know, we've built a relationship where if I were to, you know, start yelling at Atticus in a scene or something like
that, I'd cry.
I know, I'm sorry. But
do it now.
But, you know, if I were to start yelling at Atticus in a scene, he knows, you know, David's not yelling at him. It's whatever this weird amalgamation of a person I am. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's just really kind of special to be able to, once again, continue to play so freely with people when they, once they know that, you know, we're not the monster. It's the whatever it is. It's great.
And I think the fun part about improv is, I think what makes improv really funny is when people tap into the things that we don't do in a normal day. So, like, most people don't ever yell at someone in a normal day. So when you see someone do that in an improv set, you're like, this is funny because it doesn't happen and it's crazy. So it is fun to, like, hit those emotional highs in a scene.
I have a final question.
Okay.
For somebody that is interested in getting into improv, they might be scared to start screaming at people randomly. Do you have any advice for that person?
I would just jump in with both feet, man. Like, you can try a little bit and then, you know, cherry pick the things that you want to do that you may be nervous about or may not or whatever, but until you jump in, like, with full feet or with both feet, you're not really going to allow yourself to kind of fully experience it. And then once you jump in with both feet, other people will see that bravery and they'll jump in. And then before you know it, you know, you're doing 7 months with a bunch of lovely strangers. And then two of those strangers you keep around to do more improv with. And it's just a really cool time. So just jump in.
Yeah, I agree with David. I think just getting involved, if you don't want to do a whole class, you can always go to an improv jam and like do a softer entry into improv. But I think even a class, it's 8 weeks. You can do anything for 8 weeks. If you don't like it, you can always stop. If you think you're going to be bad at improv, there are plenty of people that regularly do improv that are bad. So I don't think that like a skill level should ever dissuade you from participating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think improv has been so fun. We talked earlier about being in like the flow state of a scene, and that's always one of the like highest treasures of being in an improv scene. But it is electric when you get a room full of people to laugh at something that you said. And it's, I don't know. I think improv to me has that feeling where it has that like scary element to it, that like fear adrenaline element that I think brings me back. It's not quite the same as doing something like a free solo or like crazy rock climbing, but I think I understand the drive of those people to do this thing that feels very dangerous. Because when you're up there, it's exhilarating. You're so in the moment, you're so focused in a way that I don't find a lot of the time just in day-to-day life. Like you have to be so locked in, so paying attention to the people around you. It can go horribly, and it often does, but...
Yeah, it's an ego death.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not, you're not physically risking yourself,
yeah.
But there is, like, an internal adrenaline rush
yeah.
from it. Are you prepared and afraid to do some improv right now?
I guess both yes to both.
Yes and.
Yes.
Ditto, yeah, yes and.
Our suggestion was Fairy Tale. Oh God. These brambles.
These brambles, dear. Why they hurt you so?
I don't think they mean it. I think it's, you know, just part of the job.
No, we mean it.
Okay. Well,
we mean every thorn.
Every thorn, every bramble, darling.
I'm sorry I stepped on you last week, too. You keep getting in the path.
You planted us for defense, and this is what we do now.
I kind of liked it.
All right, you're revealing too much about the inside life.
Charlie,
hmm?
You liked being stepped on?
I got a thing.
He's got a thing. I won't go any more into it.
It's 2026. I got a thing.
Okay. I did not.
I apologize once again that we stepped on you. We do it pretty constantly, and I don't know how to avoid it if you just keep growing into the path.
Don't avoid it.
I avoid it occasionally.
Mm-hmm. He's got a thing.
I got a thing. It's 2026. It's okay.
Charlie,
It
feels like we need to talk about this.
Let's talk about it.
I feel like we're on a different page.
Well, yeah, we're different brambles.
I didn't know we could be that different.
Well, you know, that's one of the nice things, you know, growing up in education, nature versus nurture, like we're just different brambles.
Okay, so I guess next time I'm wandering, I'm picking my flowers, I'll step on Charlie.
Thank you.
And I'll avoid Brad.
I'd appreciate that.
Okay. I will be honest. It is hard to tell y'all apart.
The nerve.
The nerve, really. The nerve. You come over to our garden, you tell us you can't tell us apart.
Even at this moment, looking at the two of you, I'm getting confused again.
Well, should he wear a hat? Would that help?
That would be, one, just so cute. That would be so cute, seeing a bramble in a hat. Are you kidding me? Yes. Would love it.
Charlie, I feel like you just want me to be different.
Well, no, I just want her help so that she knows she's stepping on the primo brandle.
I don't like this. I don't like this from you.
Ma'am, listen. Yes.
Brad?
We can just keep this.
Brad, was it?
No.
Shoot. I'll knit the hat right away. Okay. Sorry.
Charlie was talking to you, not me.
Oh, dang it. Okay, Charlie.
Yes.
You were saying?
Listen, I think it's amazing that we can have this conversation to begin with. But, you know, just know I'm the one that's pro-stepping. My brother, who will be wearing the hat, anti-stepping. And it should be pretty good from there.
All right. I mean, I will try my best. It does seem like there's some contention between the Bramble brothers here.
I just feel like he's always trying to be different. And that's fine. But now he's trying to tell me to wear a hat. That's a lot.
Listen, I'm just pro this lady stepping on me, and I know you anti this lady stepping on you. So whatever way I can help this lady and her problems that benefits me and my brother, good for me.
Do I get a say? Because I think I don't want to step on you. I get hurt from it.
Well,
it's no. 2026. Remember.
It's 2026. I guess she gets a saying about who she steps on.
No, you made it sound like she has to.
Well, you know, your boy gets lonely here on the ground. I have a few joys.
I'm not enough for you. I'm not my company.
Oh my gosh. I've grown next to you my whole existence. Can I have new experiences that are just mine?
No. You're tearing us apart.
See what you did to us, Temptress? See what you did to us?
I can't take the blame for this. What if I could plant another?
No.
So okay. Close.
Well, one seemed excited and another said no. So, again.
There you go again. Just the opposite. Trying to divide us.
I just want someone to talk to me who has different stories. I've heard about your lean cuisine so much.
It's the only way. That's what...
I'm sorry I keep dumping my lean cuisines out. I should really stop, you know, just throwing trash outside.
You say you don't know the difference between us, but you do always dump it on me.
Much appreciated.
It's not a personal choice. You're just, I guess, the nearest Bramble. Yeah, skeptical. I'll remember you from your skeptical features.
The skeptical bush-like nature.
Yes.
What features are you going to remember of me?
I guess the happy to be stomped on ones. Partially smushed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you gentlemen Brambles, enjoy your evening.
Ma'am.
M'lady.
Gosh darn. I stepped on another one. Which one was that?
That was Tristan.
We'll do a scene. Thank you guys for being here. Really, just such a joy.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Thank you to WGTE, Voices Around Us, and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer, for making this podcast possible. And of course, thank you to today's guests for sharing their stories and their love of improv. You can find Improv 419 at wgte.org/improv419 or any podcast streaming platform. And finally, thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in and supporting. Please check out the other wonderful podcasts, part of the Voices Around Us series, and stay tuned for more Improv 419 episodes.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.